Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast.
Hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Stahlmann.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
In this episode, I'm going to have a conversation with Michele Clara, who is an industry development officer at the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO. Hi, Michele.
Hi, Jörg. How's it going?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm fine, thanks.
So you're engaged in the Cluster and Business Linkages unit of UNIDO. Maybe just briefly explain what kind of unit that is.
Sure. I belong to the technical division of UNIDO that is engaging technical cooperation projects. So I'm involved in the preparation, implementation, and monitoring of technical activities in a variety of countries, developing countries in Latin America, Asia, and Africa. The division is subdivided in branches, and the one I belong to is involved in private sector development, and which is again subdivided in three units, and the three units are the usual suspects: clusters and business linkages. There's a unit for entrepreneurship development and one for reforming of the business environment. The cluster and business linkages unit has been established some two or three years ago as an attempt to bring together people who were engaged in this, in creating linkages. And so there was a common theme, a common thread around the people working in the unit. Either linkages within the private sector, business to business, or between the private and the public sector.
Okay.
So we brought together the people that were involved in partnerships, the people that were involved in enterprise networks, and the people that are working on cluster development.
Okay. So what you've done is basically look at it in a more functional way, because otherwise clusters are often conceptualized as something that is pretty much a local or a territorial approach, whereas you are looking at it as a kind of methodological issue, right?
Well, I think it owes also to the history of UNIDO's engagement in cluster development. Certainly, the cluster development program as it's structured today is an offshoot of our earlier interventions in the field of enterprise networking. Business networking projects started in Central America some 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think very much as an offshoot of that methodology, we moved into cluster development some 12 years ago. So
okay.
I think you're spotting the right feature, and it's basically a legacy issue.
Yeah, right. I've been aware of UNIDO's cluster development activities for a long time. So I think you're probably one of the organizations, if not the organization, with the longest track record in cluster development. Maybe let's have a brief look at that. What are you typically doing when you're doing cluster development?
Okay. Well, as I said, I mean, most of our work in our division is concentrated on implementing technical projects. So I think that when we talk about what UNIDO does, it would be important to differentiate what we do as technical implementation and what we do as upstream work. So I think at some stage we will need to return on this issue if you want me to explore exactly what UNIDO does.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect you mean what we do when we are asked to run a cluster program.
Yeah.
In a particular country.
Right.
So, right, exactly. For us, this is normally a process, as you know, in any UN organization, that starts with an official request from the local government, so either a national level or at the sub-national level. And normally, as a rule of thumb, we interpret cluster development as a process of supporting existing clusters.
Okay.
This is normally an issue of contention with a lot of our member states, because a lot of people seem to come on cluster development from a perspective of a greenfield approach. Let's build a biotech cluster, or let's build a software cluster.
Right.
We normally have to downplay this kind of request, because our methodology is basically focusing at supporting existing clusters, which for some reason or another are not doing just as good as they might.
Right.
Okay, so this is an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
When we get this kind of request, our approach is normally to find out what's going on out there. So we normally start with some kind of cluster mapping activity, presuming nobody has done it before. This has normally been the case when we have been called in. Our counterparts might be vaguely aware about clusters, what cluster development is, but they hardly have any clue about clusters in their country or in their region.
Okay.
So they need to be helped to freshen up their thinking and identify the clusters that exist in the country.
Okay.
We then move to a process of selection together with the counterpart, which is normally quite tedious, but necessary, especially because we then clash with this mentality of creating clusters or investing in clusters where they clearly seem to have a sort of high dynamism or an exotic nature to it. Somehow our counterparts don't seem to regard handicraft clusters or traditional production clusters as particularly appealing subjects.
Oh, is it?
And they, okay. They tend to look at, you know, growth export-oriented clusters or higher tech clusters as more likely a candidate of a support program.
Okay.
It can be the case, but sometime it might be wiser, and I think one of the issues of cluster development is to reconsider in a more focused manner whether the existing clusters have a future in today's global markets.
Right.
Eventually, we zero in on a specific location or specific clusters, and then we actually implement our program, which is, well, I suspect what your listeners might have already imagined, starts from a diagnostic study, moves into strategy identification, implementation, and then a set of activities that normally last between 3 and 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the best case scenario, end up with the creation of a cluster which is fully sustainable. I mean, a cluster governance framework which is sustainable and can take the responsibility for the cluster going forward.
Okay. So when you look at your experiences, what do you see as the critical success factors for successful cluster initiatives?
Okay, as I hinted before, there's one important pre-project discussion in terms of what is to be invested upon.
Yeah.
I think there's a sense that some industrial sectors have no future in today's world, and perhaps in some cases this is definitely true. In some cases it might need to be revisited. So, for instance, garment manufacturing nowadays is obviously a problem because China's coming in, yet there are components in that market that seem to be driven by robust demand, either locally or regionally, product niches, sub-products, perhaps not the usual T-shirts or trousers, that have some dynamic in it. So it's important to focus on what there is dynamism in.
Yes.
So the sector analysis, the subsector analysis, the understanding of the global trends, the prospects in the short and medium term are sort of very crucial for the success of a cluster program.
Okay.
Another success factor, I think, is, well, I was thinking about the diagnostic study. There is certainly a whole amount of research that can be undertaken in clusters. Over years, we've learned that perhaps there's a tendency to overinvest at the beginning in terms of analysis. very thick books being prepared on the cluster, the mapping, the players, how many they are, the turnover. I think over time we've learned that that might be streamlined, and some rough and dirty estimates of what's going on perhaps are that, you know, can take 3 to 4 months are a lot more valuable than things that can take 8 to 12 months in terms of diagnostic study.
Okay.
Another success factor, I think, is local ownership of the cluster development initiative, both on the private and on the public sector. And sometime, especially at the beginning, the public sector might appear to be more forthcoming. Sometime when things move ahead, the private sector is extremely dynamic and the public sector then drags things behind. I think it's important to maintain ownership and balance activities and local ownership across the process. And I've seen a lot of programs that have not delivered as much as they could because either the private or the public sector were simply not geared up to the process.
Mm, right.
final success factor, which I think is important to keep in mind, is be realistic in your objectives. Be prepared to change them over time. So start on a sort of relatively modest, modestly ambitious agenda, because it's important to buy in the trust and the ownership of the local stakeholders. And one of the best ways to blow away their trust is to start up front with very large scale projects, which of course require a lot of understanding, mutual understanding. So don't be afraid of starting small, as long as you appreciate that that's a ground stone for building trust of your counterparts.
Okay.
I think this is enough to sort of start the discussion.
All right. The way you've described it now, it sounds like your cluster projects are actually pretty much a territorial kind of intervention. Is that true, or how do you see that?
Well, I think I would definitely say so, because I think, okay, as I said, the cluster program that we run is very much an offshoot of our network development activities. And by the way, we still run network-based activities outside clusters. So we don't see territorial concentration as the necessary and sufficient factor for us to intervene.
Right.
Having said that, over the years, we have learned that working in clusters, building networks, creating linkages in clusters is tremendously easier than when producers are scattered around. So geographical concentration helps a great deal. It helps a great deal because people have the same language and they can interact face-to-face, which we still believe is a very crucial component.
Yeah.
So obviously, language, local culture, local language, local tradition, a past shared history is a fundamental component of cluster development. In that sense, territorial development is certainly there. And we also believe very strongly that cluster development is a platform for public-private partnership. And when you talk about dialogue and partnership, you're talking about local government, local businesses, local chambers of association. So in a sense, yes, I mean, we are very close to territorial development.
Okay.
Well, perhaps we have been criticized several times by our in our reviews, and I think we're trying to make an effort, is to break away from a overly inward-oriented attitude towards local development.
Yes.
And there is sometimes a danger to bypass players that simply are not based locally. And over the years, we've learned that buyers, international buyers, traders, even when they're not physically located in a cluster, are extremely important components of a cluster development project.
Right, so in
that sense, I think we're venturing a lot more into the value chain perspective.
As you mentioned that, so looking at what currently are major trends in private sector development, value chains obviously is one of the big topics right now. So the way you describe it is kind of a natural connection between cluster development and value chain development, isn't there?
Yes, I would say so. Although I think we have to be realistic. I mean, value chain, the spread of value chains can also generate threats for cluster development.
Sure.
In a sense that being linked up into regional and global value chain very often erodes the very features that used to make a cluster competitive.
Okay.
So I think that it's no panacea. I mean, global markets are often, regional and global markets are often necessary preconditions for cluster development.
Mm-hmm.
But one needs to be clear that once these markets are hooked up, a whole number of new trends and pressures get materialized inside the cluster, and this could displace the very fabric of the cluster, polarize the production, or create a two-tier system, which then degrades the amount of local cooperation within the private sector. There might be sort of pressures on the labor market, which then jeopardize the relationship between entrepreneurs and workers. So I think we need to be clear about this. Our global chain exercise pressure on local clusters, which can be leveraged upon, which are very important for cluster competitiveness, but that might present threats as well as opportunities for cluster survival.
Mm. Is a consequence of this train of thought that you would say, well, think first and explore properly whether you really want to connect a local cluster to a global value chain?
Well, I think in today's markets, you can't really be delinked from global supply and demand conditions.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You might not want to compete against the Chinese in garments, but the Chinese are coming in your market and displacing you in the first place. So, I mean, you can't simply fail to consider them either on the supply side or on the demand side. So I think one needs to be realistic. And often I think one of the problems of value chains, the way they're discussed in the Doros community, is value chain seems to be means that can be, you know, tools that can be used by donors to get results. Value chains are things driven by the private sector, very much out there, no matter what we do with them. So in a sense, they are a lot more like framework conditions than tools for practitioners to work with. First of all, it's important to be clear that clusters often operate in markets that are parts of regional or global chains, and chain dynamics has an implication for cluster development.
What I
think we are increasingly saying is that the global markets you need to be aware of. If you want to sell and be a player in the global market, you need to understand the value chain dynamics. If you want to get integrated, let's work on it, but let's be clear that there might be negative pressures and they need to be identified early and as much as possible tackled as a challenge. Not necessarily as an opportunity, because they materialize as challenges.
So what you say, it is ultimately unavoidable, and you have to cope with that at a local level somehow.
Exactly. Now, I think over time we are developing a closer understanding of chain dynamics, and as you become more experienced in that, you can then structure your cluster program so that it builds upon it and it doesn't come in as a surprise. But certainly value chain integration in clusters has winners and losers, and you need to be aware about that. You can't just discover it as it moves along, because this is something that can seriously jeopardize the ownership of the local stakeholders.
Yeah, right. The other topic that is currently very popular in the donor community is enabling environment. How do you look at that, and to what extent is that an issue in your initiatives and in your work?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to realize that clusters can be an extremely good laboratory to learn about problems, but they are often not the right place to solve all problems.
Yeah.
So I think that you can get a lot of insight into the private perception of the enabling environment by working in clusters, and normally diagnostic studies, but even more simply, like face-to-face interaction with business people in the clusters, throw in a lot of inputs on business environment, the as preconditions for viable commercial development. Any practitioner knows that if you ask a private business person what he or she feels is the number one constraints, they normally tell you about legislation, taxation, availability of services. So this is clear that you would get a lot of information on problems on the business environment side from cluster analysis. I don't think clusters are the right location to solve these problems, because often these problems are due to conditions that evolve outside the cluster. And upon which, in a number of cases, cluster players don't have a lot of impact. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be involved in it, but I mean, plugging them in the cluster program as such might not be particularly wise, because you might need to interact with a whole set of new people. And the cluster dynamics might not be particularly conducive onto that.
Right.
I'm thinking of requests for changes in the registration process of businesses.
Yeah.
Now, these are things that normally get handled in the capitals. And while the private sector locally can be an important source of information and also to show politicians that there is a keen interest on this issue, local policymakers hardly ever mandate to mess around with these things.
Right.
There are other dimensions of business services that are closer within the domain, that are contained in the cluster domain, and I think we've done quite a lot on that. There are issues like zoning policies, provision of local taxation, which often are very important and bypassed by the doing business kind of reviews. That's where local businesses and local policymakers have a great deal more to do.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, as I say, it's an important input, cluster development discloses a lot of very high-powered information on the problems on the business side, on the business environment side. Not necessarily the best place to tackle these issues, but often I think important problems for the private sector are generated locally and can be solved locally.
Right. Right. When you're presenting your experience, do you have any favorite success story that you like to tell?
Well, I think there are a couple of countries where we've been engaged for a longer period of time.
Okay.
Nicaragua in Central America, and okay. India in Asia.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of as a sheer result of the longer engagement, we tend to sort of focus on these cases as success stories or locations where the full-fledged approach has been implemented and where results have been generated.
Yeah.
Would you want me to elaborate on that? Or that would sound a lot like self-publicity, but of course I'm not prepared to do it.
maybe what we should do is just mention your website, because I think there is a couple of documentations available.
Absolutely. We've just reviewed our website, and it's structured a lot more in a user-friendly way. So, I mean,
okay.
The site is www.unido.org/clusters.
Okay.
And we have case studies and examples from different interventions around the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. What I've sometimes been using is this video that was produced in India a couple of years ago. Is there other audiovisual material that is also available?
Yes. We are now packaging all of our audiovisual material in one DVD, which is going to be available in a couple of months' time. That has experiences from Africa, Latin America, and India.
Okay.
In English and Spanish.
All right.
But we also have some videos that are available for free streaming from our website.
Okay.
So again, same address as before. There are links to audiovisuals as well as printed material there.
Okay. Good.
I think you're referring to the longish video, Indian video explaining the methodology of cluster development.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a favorite nowadays. Mm. We have tried to package in a lot more on the impact side of things.
Okay.
I mean, that video you refer to is more methodological and explains you how things get done.
Yeah. Right.
As of recent, we have been trying to picture the results more than the process behind.
Oh, I see. Okay. Maybe one last point that we should mention. If I'm not mistaken, you are also doing cluster training together with the ILO.
Yes.
At the training center in Torino. Maybe just explain that.
Yeah, as I said before, I mean, our mandate is not really to run projects around the world. Our mandate is to disseminate the methodology. And often we see the projects at the field level really as a pilot that we can engage with the local counterparts in. But eventually it's the local counterparts that will need to be able to run these projects on their own.
Mm-hmm.
For this reason, we are investing almost as much effort into creating methodologies and tools that can be used by practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And as an obvious result of that, we are heavily engaged in training.
Mm.
Training events, the majority of which is normally under the framework of bilateral projects with UNIDO.
Mm.
But we thought that it is important to give things for have some packages available for people that don't want necessarily to get into a full-fledged UNIDO project.
Right.
So we developed a full-fledged program on cluster development with the International Training Center of Turin, which we ran for 3 years, 4 years in a row in Turin. We are now trying to move more regional. Rather than have one global training program that fits the world. So we had a couple of regional events in Central America over the last year. We are going to have another one in for Southern Africa later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have regional training programs in India and in Thailand. So the methodology is normally we run them for like 10 working days,
mm-hmm.
two over 2 weeks. And we try to give access to our methodology as well as to the practical experience that we gathered over the last 15 years.
Okay.
Linkages on that, inputs on that are available through our website, as well as through the website of the ITC Center in Turin. Of course, it's co-shared, and we're very grateful for the ILO to sort of have been embarking on this project with us. It's okay. Always exciting to have other UN partners coming in on these things.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks a lot for your time, and thanks a lot for this conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks to you for having me on this podcast. And as I said, you have the coordinates of our website, so you can, if you feel you need more information on what we do, just feel free to contact us. There's an email address. It's clusters@unido.org. Just feel free to get in touch.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.